Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice.
From the Call to Worship broadcast archives.
Reading from Colossians chapter 3. Reading once again from the beginning. We have not done that the last couple of weeks. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked some time when you lived in them. But now ye also put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Let's pray that we'll understand these words, and especially that we will be hearers and doers of the word. Our Father, we come giving thanks for all of thy word, for its message, especially its message of thy loving the world and giving thy Son, thine only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Help us to know, Father, that we are in a perishing world. We are perishing because we have sinned. Thou hast said the wages of sin is death. Help us to know that we are in that state and will stay in that state unless we are risen with Christ. We pray that thou would give us the teaching. We pray that thou would give us also the work of the Spirit in our hearts, opening our hearts, giving us the new birth, giving us the washing of regeneration, giving us thy word with power, that it will convict, that it will lead into all truth, that it will take the things of Christ and show them to us, that it will bring us to reconciliation with thee, and that we can say with Paul, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with thee through our Lord Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, that thou will bring many to that place that are not there. We pray that thou will bring the church back to the right place in reviving. If we have lost that first love and lost that awareness, lost that doctrine, not willing anymore to endure sound doctrine, as thou hast spoken of it, and that in the last days there would be perilous times, we pray, Father, that we might realize that it has come upon us, and we might realize that we are more than probably we realize, part of it, being drawn away with the world, allowing the world to come into the church, instead of we going into the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. We pray that soon that might take place, that thou would call many more laborers, that thou would revive the church and strengthen it, that we will want to preach it to every creature, that we will want to bring the message of repentance and remission of sins in thy name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, beginning at home, with ourselves, with our churches, with our families. We pray, Father, that we might have that blessing, and we confess we need it. And though the way is open for us to obey thee, we know, Father, we will not obey thee except we have more of Christ, and we pray for him to be given, first of all, in this way, seeking those things which are above, but also that we might have the blessings from him and in him for the daily needs, for the temporal needs, for those suffering, those in sickness, injury, homeless, starving, war-torn lands, the broken homes, the children in those homes, the schools, all these needs, Father, the many in sorrow, we pray that thou would give what is needed through Christ, in whose name we give thanks. Amen. As we again look at these words given to this church at Colossae, we have to ask ourselves, have we been risen with Christ? Have we had the beginning of what is stated in this epistle to the Colossians through the preaching of the word? By the preaching, God saves sinners. That was the way that Paul described it to the Corinthians, that by the foolishness of preaching, he saves those that believe. Here, these evidently were preached to. We don't know by who. Paul is writing to them now, but we do not read that he went there. Like we read, he went to Ephesus, he went to Thessalonica, he went to Philippi and other places and established churches there. But here we don't know its beginning, but we do know its beginning in the way of God, the way of Christ. We could read that in the 12th verse of the first chapter, giving thanks unto the Father who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who have delivered us from the power of darkness and have translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. God's Son came down to earth. God's Son, who with the Father created the world. We read in verse 16, for by him were all things created. Remember, created. Not made out of something, but created. He spoke these things into existence by the word of his mouth. And he still upholds all things in the same way. And he builds his church by, as we've mentioned before, the preaching of the word. Actually being a witness of Christ. As Christ said to his apostles, you are my witnesses. And as Paul could also say that he had been not disobedient to the heavenly vision, but he was a witness of Christ. And certainly we need that today more and more. Some nations are hardly hearing the gospel. Some have not heard the gospel. In their different homes, the children in many homes have never really heard the gospel. But where it has been heard, where it has gone with power, where it has been preached in truth and then believed, this took place, what is here mentioned in this letter to the Corinthians. And then he states it with an if. If then you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We read in the 11th verse, the way of regeneration, in whom ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein ye are also risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. All of this word is one word. It all fits together, and we need every part of it. Like a puzzle, when you start putting a puzzle together, and you get near the end, you don't throw away the first part. Only when it stays there is the picture completed. And we need the first part. That's the beginning of the church. And then, Paul referring back to the first part, if then you'll be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Have you been risen with Christ? Have you been buried with Christ in baptism? The two go together. Risen is from the dead. Risen is from being first buried. I think of what Martin Luther wrote concerning baptism. He said, baptismal in Greek means to plunge something completely into the water so that the water covers it, although in many places it is no longer customary to do so, but only with a hand pouring the baptismal water or sprinkling. Nevertheless, the former is what should be done. It would be proper, according to the meaning of the word taffy in German, that whoever is baptized should be put in and sunk completely into the water and then drawn out again. For even in the German tongue, taffy comes undoubtedly the word taif, meaning that he that is baptized is sunk deeply into the water. The usage is also demanded by the significance of baptism itself. For baptism, as here, signifies that the old man, the sinful birth of flesh and blood, are to be wholly drowned by the grace of God. We should therefore do justice to its meaning and make baptism a true and complete sign of the thing it signifies. Very true. The sad part was, he writes here, although in many places it is no longer customary to do this. How sad. And those that did it sometimes were persecuted. Here we have the truth. We're going to deal, time permitting, with verse 9. After finishing verse 8, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. Jeremiah, preaching to those of Judah, said, they cry peace, peace, when there is no peace. That's lying one to another. They spoke to Isaiah the prophet and said, speak to us smooth things. If Isaiah would have given heed to them, he would have lied to them. Paul said, when he visited the church at Ephesus the last time, and Luke wrote about it in Acts chapter 20. He said, I have not shunned to declare the whole counsel of God, and I am free from the blood of all men. Paul didn't lie. Paul is not lying here either. He's speaking by the inspiration of God. He's speaking by the power of the Spirit of truth is being made known here. If every one of us believed these things as we should, there'd be revival and truth. If everybody practiced these things as we should, there'd be a doing in truth. And we need those two things. We need a revival in the truth. Just the fact that we're so far apart, divided. When Christ prayed that they might be one, as he and the Father are one, that the world will know that the Father has sent Christ. It took place on the day of Pentecost. It took place somewhat following. But some of the churches were not that way. The church at Corinth was reproved because they had divisions and were carnal, called babes. This church is not condemned that way, but just simply stated, if you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We have to seek them from Christ. We have to know that we must eat and drink of his body, drink of his blood on the cross that took place those 1900 and some years ago. But now we serve a risen Savior, as one of the songs states it, concerning his resurrection. And here we are then to do not only that which we are in the new way, risen with Christ, but we have to continue to put off the old. We read verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And we saw those things some time ago. Last week we saw things from verse 8. But now you put off also these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. We mentioned much of the anger that is where it should not be, in the home. Anger instead of love. Anger instead of submission. We read from the words of Ephesians, and we have them here in the next chapter as well. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, submit yourself to your husbands. That is not being done. Half of the homes are broken because of anger. There's other reasons as well, but that is one of them, and there's much of it. I was reading of a young person that wrote to somebody for advice that when her parents were angry in the home, she got angry, started breaking things. It passes on to the next generation, and there's no worse place. It's terrible in the church, it's terrible in the home, it's terrible in the nation, but if we have it in the home, as I used to hear, and I don't hear it anymore. As goes the home, so goes the nation. And our nation is going that way. Anger. Terrible anger. Especially since we've had the last election. All my years, I've not heard so much anger expressed. Terribly. We have to pray for our leaders, that they won't be destroyed by the anger of the people. Anger. And what will they do? In anger, we'll fall into the trap of the next verse. Lie not one to another, so you can have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, after the image of him that created him. We are not doing that as a nation, as a church, as homes. It's all because we don't do it as individuals. We look to others to do it. We are very guilty in our nation of lying one about another, making another worse than ourselves. And all of it is terrible. Terrible in the sight of God. It's terrible, as we said last week, for time. But it'll be even worse for eternity. When we read verse 6 again, for which things' sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. There may be some of that wrath meted out in time. It was on Judah. It was on Israel. God punished them many times in temporal ways, different ways. But many times they had an opportunity then to repent, and they did, when God visited them with judgment. But when that wrath comes eternally, there will be no change. No change at all. It will be eternal. Not even a drop of water to cool the tongue that has lied. 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 Yes, we read in the Psalms that God looked down from heaven to see if there were any that did good. There were none. Paul quotes some of the words from the psalmist. In Romans chapter 3, he writes to the New Testament church what God saw and what God said. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of ash is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. There's no reason for it when we do it. It's really a lie. Sometimes a worse lie than others, especially when it's in line with what we also read here, blasphemy. Then it's really lying against God, complaining against God, murmuring against God when we have no reason to do it. As I said last week, we've come through a time of thanksgiving, a time that we have been given us by our forefathers. Our presidents have declared it, but basically we think of our pilgrim forefathers in their suffering, their hardship, after God blessed them in the way he did, gave thanks to God. And there wasn't a murmuring, there was a thankfulness. And how much thankfulness is there today when we have so much in material things, so much food and raiment, so much in luxuries, so much goes to waste, so much goes to the landfills, just awful. What other countries wouldn't do with that? How they would love to have it. What we waste, what we throw away, it's terrible. And then we say, sometimes, we don't have anything. I don't have anything. People say, I don't have anything to put on when closets are full. Maybe we don't have something with the latest style. Is that what we need? We need to cover our body in humility. We need to keep warm. That's the purpose. And God gives us that and gives it to us in this country in abundance. In other ways, we could enter in as well. And when we are not satisfied, if we say anything else but thanks, praise the Lord. The Lord is good. He's dealt with us wonderfully. In regard to our sins, his mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. His mercy endureth forever. It's been as long as my life. Mercy, 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 mercy. Still here. And if we don't go from mercy to grace, then one day mercy will be done. One day will be the last day that God withholds judgment. When it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment, then what? Then we'll have a day of reckoning. We'll have a day as the Lord Jesus said when he was here on earth. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. Have your words been words of confession? I've been angry. I've been a liar. I'm guilty of these things that Paul warns against, that still cling to our flesh, that want to come back even after they should have been buried by baptism, by death, buried as God does it in his own way. And as Paul said, being convicted of a sin, and I died. I died. I lost all hope in self, died to sin, died to his pride, died to his covetousness, which he said he was guilty. Had not known sin except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. If we have a covetous spirit, then we can get angry very easy at others. Anger and wrath are much alike. And then the next word used there in that 8th verse, malice. Malice. Wrath, we can simply be angry and walk away. Forget. Don't want anything to do with some people. I've known that. Known people that won't have a thing to do with others. They're angry. But malice. Malice. What does that do? That doesn't just leave someone there we're angry alone. It wants to harm others. It has evil intent. It's like saying, I'll get them back. When we think there's a reason to be angry. And God says, put off these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy. As I said, blasphemy, it's more in danger of being in line with a relationship with God. We speak blasphemous things that are not true of God, of his ways. If we murmur, we're really saying, God isn't good to me. It's a lie. It's murmuring. It's dissatisfaction. But it can come close to being blasphemy. And then filthy communication out of your mouth. In our day and age, in our everyday language, we probably call it dirty jokes. Dirty language. Filthy communication out of your mouth. All of that is to be put off. And then, lie not one to another, seeing you have put off the old man with his deeds. You put the liar to death. He's supposed to stay dead. And if he comes back, woe unto us. Jeremiah writes, their tongue is as an arrow shot up. It speaks deceit. One speaks peaceably to his neighbor with his mouth, but in his heart he layeth wait. The writer of Proverbs tells us, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth evil imaginations, feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Twice lies are mentioned, a lying tongue, and then a false witness that speaketh lies. What will be the end of it? What will be the final end? We read what the Lord Jesus said, by our words we will be judged. We read in Revelation, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. We might think that others are much worse than ourselves, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers. But God puts all liars with them. When it comes to sin, as Paul said, are we better than they? In no wise, we have together become unprofitable. But when it comes to the blessing of God's word being given, so that we can die to self, be buried in baptism, rise to newness of life with Christ, then there's no difference either. The last verse that we read, Colossians chapter 3, verse 11, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Christ, who is the way, the truth, the life, the truth. He speaks only truth. He speaks it of us. He speaks it to us. Do we hear his voice today?
To God be the glory, great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, let the people.